Today's daf in Masechet Nachot brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Mem Vav, and we're holding on daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. So remember that what we found yesterday was a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Manaz, Rabbi Shimon Ben Manaz, as to how to understand the four psukim that had to do with Vikraftim al Halechem, with the Tihiyena, which was a reference to the Lechem, and the Vahayuz going to be compared, or were the Vahayuz being compared to the Vahayuz? Now, the difference was that Alibid Rabbi Akiva, the central component is the Lechem, and if you don't have the Lechem, then you cannot bring these Karbonis. So according to Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, it's the exact opposite. The central issue over here is the fact that the Lechem has no Matir, and therefore you've got to bring the Lechem, Karbon, because it can be Matir as Atzmai. And that's what ends up being Matir the Lechem. And then the way the Gemara had worked out yesterday is that it was a function of understanding whether it's preferable to learn the Vahayu from the Tiyena or the Vahayu from the Vahayu. That was yesterday's Machlokas. Now today, the Gemara wants to add that this is all talking about simple circumstances where they haven't been linked to each other through an action. However, says Rabbi Yochanan in the last lines of Memhei, everybody agrees that in the event that they were already linked, how are they linked? They became connected one to another. This is the same kind of lashon of Zika by Yibum, and they are now connected to one another. They need each other. That was something that was done to connect them. That would mean that each one is absolutely ma'akev the other one, which means that if you lose the Lechem, for some reason, you cannot bring or use those kvasim, and vice versa. So both of them end up becoming lost with the loss of one. Loss, whatever, to Tumah, to Yotzei, to actual loss. Now, what do I mean when I say that they are Niskakim Zelezeh? Ezehu Hazikah Shelehem? The thing that will definitely connect them one to the other is the moment of the Shechita of the kvasim. The Shechita of the Kvasim will link those Kvasim to those Lechomim. And that, there's no way to change afterwards. If something happens to one or the other, then both of them are going to be gone. Omar Ula. So Ula says, well, the question, I understand what Rabbi Yochanan says, that Shechita, that of course, because that's actually the Matir and so on, that is Zokik them one to the other. But how about just Tenufa? So remember that the Shnei Kvasim, the Kivsei Atzeret, which have a din of Shlomim, they are also waved together with the Lechem. And now the question is, does that waving, since that's an Aveda, I mean, I understand it's not one of the Matirin, but it is a special Aveda that's done with the Shlomim, is that because it's done with the Shlomim and the Lechem together, and it's the only thing in which we, out of all the Korbanos, the only thing that requires Tenufa here in these, with all of these Olos, the Purim and the Elim, and nothing else has any kind of Tenufa that is done with the Lechem. And this is a very unique kind of situation. And therefore, my question is, perhaps that itself would make the Zika. This is a sort of rare kind of circumstance. Of course, in this week's Parsha, we have a special case of exactly this situation where we do the Tenufa. We actually bring these special Karbonos that are brought during the Miluim for the Kedushas Aaron and then the Kedushas Mizbeach. And in that case, we actually do a Tenufa of three different types of Lechem, and we bring them together with the Ayil, which is the Shlomim. Once again, this is a classic. Even though it was only Kedusha Sha'a, it links to the other three times in the Torah that we find this idea of Tenufa, of an animal together with the Lechem. There's only four times in history. Three times are always, and one of them was Lufisha. It's this week's Parsha, which is the one that's Lufisha. So one of the three times that is permanent was, of course, exactly this case, the case of the Shtei Alechem, which are waved together with the Karbonos, Dafka, the Shalmei Sifrei Shalmei Tzibur. So the question is that enough to create a Zika between them such that if one is lost, they're both lost? Or do we say that it's only the Shechita, because the Shechita, after all, is one of the Matirin, is one of the four Matirin, right? The Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. I just love going over these Halachas with you to keep drilling it into your brains so that it's second nature to me now. Okay, so that's my question, says Ula. Does Tnufa create that Zika or not? I understand. Did you just hear what we said? Rabbi Yochanan said, and he was the source of this Halacha, he said, Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Shechita Osa Zika. I mean, Shechita is obviously more than Tnufa. If Tnufa would be Osa Zika, why wouldn't he have said Tnufa is Osa Zika? So it seems quite clear that it's only the Shechita which is Osa Zika. No. Obviously, I know what Rabbi Yochanan said. I'm asking, what is the meaning? How am I supposed to take Rabbi Yochanan? I mean, I could take Rabbi Yochanan as giving a definitive psak, right? And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, look, this is the way that I understand it. It's the Shechita which creates the Zika. But did he say that? Did he say it is the Shechita which creates Zika? No. He said Shechita creates Zika. Okay. So how am I to understand that? He could be saying, look, I can tell you one thing. Shechita creates Zika, that I know. As to whether anything else, such as Tnufa, I don't know, so I'm not going to tell you. Well, I mean, you can't decide that from the language of Rabbi Yochanan, can you? So it's Rabbi Yochanan Gufa Kami Boyeli. That's what I want to understand. Was that a definitive statement in which Mirpshap Shitalil Rabbi Yochanan de Shechita Osa Zika Vetufa Eino Osa Zika? Did he mean to say it is Shechita which creates Zika? Or did he simply mean to say Shechita creates Zika? In which case, what would that be? Shechita, I know, Pshitale. But as far as Tnufa is concerned, I don't say things I don't know about. And therefore, I can't tell you. I'm not sure about whether Tnufa creates Zika or not. And that's what I was asking. Indeed, I don't know. I don't have any more information. The only absolute information I have is that Shechita is also Zika. I can't be sure about the Tnufa. Now, the question is, Bichlal, the thought over here that actually Zika would be created by Tnufa, what would that be based on? The Pasuk called Kodesh Yehu LaHashem LaKohen. Okay. When you're talking about this is going to be Kodesh to the Kohen, that pasuk was the closing pasuk, remember, of the four pasukim we spoke about yesterday. That was the close. Kodesh Yehu LaHashem LaKohen. But that comes after the pasuk of Ve'nif Otam HaKohen. And that seems to be saying that it's only after the actual Tnufa that we would have this Kodesh LaHashem LaKohen. So, I mean, nonetheless, where was the Machlokas of Ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva, tell me, yesterday, when we were arguing the four Pesukim? It was on that pasuk, Kodesh Yehu LaHashem LaKohen. Ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva were still discussing whether or not you could bring the lechem without the kvasim or the kvasim without the lechem, right? So I don't understand what you're saying. If the tenufa was already done, and nonetheless Ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about whether A is zokeg B or B is zokeg A, then obviously the Tnufa did not create a mutual Zika. That's the point of the Zika, is that they're mutually linked, right? So what's, I understand how you can even ask the question. You have the greatest authorities. Forget about Rabbi Yochanan. We have Rabbi Akiva and Benanas, both of them discussing these pasuks. And they were discussing it after the Tnufa. So how can you even think that it's the Tnufa in which everyone would agree? They don't agree. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Benanas argue. After the Tnufa. So obviously Tnufa doesn't create a Zika. Excuse me. It's also written after Shechita, my darling. What, you think we're talking about without Shechita? I mean, it says give it to the Kohanim. You can't give it to the Kohanim without Shechita. So obviously you're reading the Pasuk wrong. When it says Kodesh Yehu LaHashem LaKohen, it doesn't mean now. It doesn't mean we finished whatever we're going to be doing. It's saying the purpose of all of this avoda over here, v'kraftem al alechem, is ultimately to distribute it to the Kohen, right? That's all that it's saying. This is not in chronological order of any kind. It's just saying, do this and do that and do this and do that in order that ultimately it should be Kodesh LaShem LaKohen. I don't know what you got to do. But, I mean, it certainly doesn't tell me at this particular point, because otherwise it wouldn't be Zika anytime. Elamite lach lameimra. How are you going to understand the whole point over here in these psukim if Rabbi Yochanan is right, that there is a point at which it becomes nizkak? And this pasuk is talking about from the beginning. Everything that we're doing is kodesh yehiyeh Hashem lakohen. That's its purpose. It's davar shesofo lakohen. Now that's not telling you at any particular point. So the same thing would be true. I mean, if that's true about Shechita, about the Tenufa, it's true about Shechita, it's true across the board, Achinami. So talking about the Tenufa, it means the Tavish is so full of Kalina. It doesn't mean necessarily it was done now. And you can't, the Psukim have nothing to do with the question, please. Anyway, let's go on to what Rabbi Yochanan said. So now Rabbi Yochanan said, for sure, he says, Shechita, oh yes, indeed, Shechita is certainly Osa Zika. Is that true? But Rabbi Yochanan himself said something different in the same case. I mean, it's not exactly the same case, but it's the parallel case, because the other place where we've got an interconnection with Lechem and the Korban is the case where we have a Korban Teda. And remember, Korban Teda is a glorified Shlomim, in that you have to bring these four different types of Lechem with your Korban Teda. There's no Tenufa. And the din over there is that the Toda without the Lechem is still going to be a Toda, but it turns into a typical Shlomim, because now it's a stripped-down Toda, so to speak, and the Toda, remember, is called Zevach Todat Shlamav. So the Toda and the Shlomim are never mutually exclusive. Fine. So now think about what Rabbi Yochanan said, Legabe the Korban Teda. He said, if before Shechita, one of the 40 lechem that you were bringing together with the Toda, we talked about this when we were back in Zvachim, what would be if one of the pieces of the Arboim lechem, one of them broke? We discussed it, if you recall, in terms of the lechem aponim, that same interaction. So one of the lechem broke. So if it's before the Shechita, you can simply replace it. So bring another lechem, and now you've got a kosher Toda. Once you shechted the Toda, and then a piece, even one of those lechems break, now you've got a problem, because now they are zekukim to each other. And what should you do? Well, since a Toda is a shlomim, you now can still bring it as a shlomim, do the zrikas hadam, the basar should still be eaten as a shlomim, which means it no longer is only eaten for one day, like kachim kachim. It's eaten like a shlomim. And the problem is, you're going to have to bring another korban. If you made a neder that you're bringing a teida, you're still going to have to bring a teida. This is no teida, but it is a kosher korban. Videi nidro lo yatsa, and you cannot eat that lechem. So if you did the shechita, then it's too late. If afterwards, it then, if you're before Shechita, you can replace it. If it's after the Shechita, it's ruined. What if you already did the Zrikas Hadam? Oh, so if you already did the Zrikas Hadam before anything breaks, that's it. Then you've basically brought your carbon. Now, because remember, it's always Zrika that concludes the Kakravas HaKarbon and the Kapora. You were already Yotzi your Neder. What about taking off the Truma that is given, one out of every 10 lechem is given to the Kohen? You can take the Truma, but you can't take the broken one as a Truma, but you can take the Truma from one of the whole lechems of the four types, even on the broken ones. And now the whole thing becomes kosher to eat. So that's the Hikriv Mimenu Echad Mikol Korban Truma LaHashem LaKohen. And which Kohen? HaKohen Zorek Et Adam. Lo Yiyeh. And it calls it Zorek Et Adam HaShlomim Lo Yiyeh. Now, what about if you didn't shecht it? And until now we're talking about you didn't shecht it and the lechem broke. Okay. So the din is, as we said, you could be torn one from the whole. What about if nothing broke, but the problem is before Shechita, it was taken outside of Yerushalayim. Remember, in this case, we're talking about Kodesh Mekalim, even though we say it's eaten for one day, the Teda, which gives it sort of like a dinner kachim kachim, but it's definitely not kachim kachim. What's the mechitza of a Teda? The mechitza of the Teda, it does not have to remain in the Azara. It's eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, just like the Kiddush of Shlomim or Bechorim Isa, right? Okay, so if it's taken out of Yerushalayim, then that turns it into Yotze, and it becomes Pasul. and it gets the din of a treifa, and so on. So if before you did the shechita, you took one of the lechems out of Yerushalayim, it's not a problem, because since it was done before the shechita, the lechem was not kodesh yet with kedushas haguf, it takes the shechita of the actual korban, the zevach, in order to be mekadesh the lechem kedushas haguf. Then it'll become possible. But if it was taken out before the shechita, so what's the problem? It didn't become yotzei because it never had kedushas haguf. Remember, it's only after something gets kedushas haguf that it's going to become ro'ei to be nifsal, belino, or betvuyom, or beyotzei, and so on, right? So fine, bring it back in. So machli, so you bring the lechem back in, and you shechted, and now everything is hunky-dory. But how about if you already shechted it, now the lechem goes outside of Yerushalayim. What happens then? Well, in that case, the lechem becomes pasul. But, again, remember, a toda is still called a shlomim, which means you can still be zorek the dam as a shlomim, of course. It's no longer a toda because you don't have any lechem. And you can eat the basar of the shlomim the way you normally would. And you weren't yotzi your nenet, because you never brought a carbon teda. You brought a carbon shlomi. So go ahead and bring another carbon with the lechem for your carbon. But in that case, the lechem is pasul, because since it had kedushas haguf because of the shechita, when it was taken out of Yerushalayim, it now actually became pasul. And what you're doing is you're just bringing a shlomi, but a shlomi does not have any kind of lechem. Okay, now how about if this happened after the Zerika? Oh, after the Zerika? So, fine. Then you already were Yotzi or Toda. That's not a problem. Now the question is, what about the Truma that's given to the Kohen? If there's anything left, I mean, I understand. If, let's say, some of the lechem was thrown out, fine. You could be Torein from the one, if assuming there's something kosher left of all of these lechems, you can be torim from the lechem remaining inside that wasn't nifsal, even though you're being torim it on something that was yotzei chutz l'mechitzasai, and therefore it's all part, it exists, and therefore it's all part of the asara. And in the first case we were talking about where it was nifras halechem, then you can eat even the broken lechem afterwards, because the prisa no longer is not going to possible it once it was already brought properly. You just can't use it for truma. In this case, where we're talking about a yotzei, you're no way you're going to be able to eat it. That's true. But if you have anything left over that wasn't yotzei, that part can still be taken off as truma, because you could be turning from something that is still kodesh on something that was yotzei. So you're going to be turning the masha b'fnim on masha b'chutz. And now there's another issue that's similar. What happens if it was nitma? So here, before the shechita, the bread becomes tameh. Okay, remember, if it's before the shechita, you can just replace the bread. So bring other bread in order to have the lechem for your todah. And then you go ahead and do the shechita. But how about if it was already after the shechita? Now that's kedushas haguf, and now it becomes tameh. So Misha Shechata Nitma Lachma, here it's different than the other two cases, because in this case you could do the Zrika for a Teda, even though it has no kosher lechem. Why is that? You could eat the Basar as a Teda for one day, even though it has no lechem. And not only that, you don't have to bring another carbon. Yidei Nidro Yatsa. Why is that? Because the tzitz, remember, when you're talking about tumi, you have a special situation. So, again, from this week's parsha, the tzitz is meratza ala tamin, and therefore, when it says it's meratza, it doesn't mean you're allowed to eat it. Remember, the tzitz is never meratza to allow you to eat. The tzitz is meratza on the carbon that was tamin, and it did what it was supposed to do, and it's a proper carbon, 100%. However, it's never going to be matir, achil of something that's usher, that the tzitz does not do. The basar, however, yeachel, the basar wasn't affected, that didn't become tame. The neder is a perfectly good neder, because hatzitz miratzel hatame, and the lechem, of course, is possible if it's tame. You can't ever eat something which is tame that is kodesh. So even when we're allowing you to bring korbanos, it doesn't mean you're allowed to eat them betumah. So what if the dam was already nizrak? Oh, so if the dam was nizrak and only some of the lechem became tamei, then the korban was already brought 100%. Now, what do you give to the kohen? If you're able to get a one torim tohar lechem, you can be torim from that tohar on the extent but tamei remaining lechem. So basically, we've got three completely different dinim over here, depending on whether it was broken, if it was nifras, was it yotze, or was it tamei. So in the first two cases, you're going to have to bring another teida. In the last case, you're not going to have to bring another teida. In the case where it was just nifras, of course, you're allowed to eat the broken lechem. There's no isra of achila, and the truma was brought on the ones that are broken, so you can eat all of your lechem. In the second case where it was yotze, obviously we can't be matir the yotze. So over there, you don't have the kosher lechem, and in that case, if it's actually yotze, so then you cannot eat the one that was yotze. How would we be matir yotze? In this case, you may even not be able to eat any of them. I mean, depending on which one was tummy, but the point is that you got a kosher carbon entirely, and therefore you were yotze. Okay, so three completely different dinim. All right, what does this have to do with us? Well, it seems like the case ought to be similar to the interrelationship between the kibsei atzeret, which were also like shlomim with the lechem. In this case, of course, the lechem is the shtei alechem, and it's not the four different types of loaves, but it's the same type of relationship. Bring a shlomim, albeit a very special shlomim. This is a shlomim that is brought by the tzibur, the only shlomim ever that's brought by a tzibur, and it hasn't been a kachin kachin, true kachin kachin, but it's basically the same type of interrelationship. You do the shchita of a korban, in this case, the zivchei shamei tzibur, and that gives kedusha to the lechem, in this case being the shtei halechem. So it seems to fit the general pattern of an interrelationship between lechem and zevach, right? Now, you claim, Rabbi Yochanan, that you know that shchita for sure is osa zika. So I ask you, why, if once you did shchita, in these cases, it says, after shchita, it's not the same problem. After shchita, the lechem can become pasul, but you're not going to be yotze your neder in the first two cases, but you still have a kosher karban. But if they're really huskaku, I thought we said the meaning of huskaku is that if one of them is kaput, the other one is kaput. So how come the din of huskaku of Rabbi Yochanan, which would pasul both the lechem and the karban of the zivchei shalmei tzibur in the event that one or the other was no good, why does that not apply to the carbon teda, in which one or the other is not good? Why do we say, just go ahead and eat your carbon teda? Why can't I go ahead and eat my carbon teda? Well, why not? It's a carbon, isn't it? It's matir itself. Well, you could have said the same thing about the zivchei shalmei tzibur, and you said once it's huskaku, and what does the huskaku? The shchita, then you said you can't make that argument. So how come over here we are making that argument when it comes to the teda? Ah, that's not the same at all. The Toda, remember, the Torah goes out of a way to call the Teda a Shlomim. Zevach Todat Shilamav. So that tells me that the same way that ultimately, it's got a dual identity over here. Normal Shlomim doesn't have any kind of Lechem, right? So my Shlomim craving below Lechem, just like you bring a normal Shlomim without Lechem. So here, it's called a shlomim, and therefore the Toda can be brought sometimes without any lechem at all. Masha Enkein, the kifsei atzeret are never referred to anything except by their name. Their name is these zivchei shalmei tzibur. But that doesn't mean that it gives them the rights to be makrivit as a shlomim if they were linked already to their lechem. Why should it? The Toda is given a dual identity of either Toda or shlomim. These are given a single identity, and their single identity is in terms of a kraftim al lechem. And therefore, if the lechem is kaput, they are kaput. Once it's after the shchita, which links them, zika, zokik them. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, Im Timtzel Lomar. Now, look, you never made up your mind. You said take. I mean, so you don't know whether the Tnufa alone is sufficient to create the Zika or only Shchita creates the Zika. So in the event that it turns out, let's entertain that the correct approach is to say that Tnufa is Osa Zika. So then, if anything happens to that Lecha after you would do the Tnufa, so what would that mean? It would mean you're going to have to not use the kvasim, and the kvasim are gone. They became nifsal. Or if they got lost, the kvasim got lost, then you've lost the lechem, because you say that's what tnufa is. On the other hand, if you say that tnufa doesn't make zika and only shrita, so then what would be the din? You bring your lechem, and you bring your kvasim, and you did the tnufa, both of them together. Wouldn't matter. Even if something happened to that lechem, you would still bring other lechem and replace it. Now, here's my, just out of curiosity, I would like to understand, how do we proceed at that point? Because there's two ways, really, of understanding this whole halacha. We need to do tnufa. The tnufa could be a particularly a din in a korban, right? Because a zevach, we find that there are times that we have a chiyuv of tnufa. In this case, the tnufa involves the actual lechem as well. Here it's the shtei lechem. So if something happened to them, if I already did the tnufa, and the main tnufa is understood to be a function of the zevach, I wouldn't have to do a second tnufa on the lechem, because I only do the lechem because of the fact that this korban requires tnufa. But if the tnufa is actually, because you didn't say the, I don't know how you appreciated the idea of the tnufa of the two together if it does not create Zika. And I'm asking you, in the event that it doesn't create Zika, which means that we're bringing replacement lecha, do we make a new tnufa or not? That's what I want to know. So you brought the lechem, you already did the tnufa, now the lechem was lost. Do we need to do tnufa again or not? Oto alechem to untnufa, o eno to untnufa. And I'm telling you, bedavka, I'm not talking about the other case. And if the kvasim were lost, of course you would need to redo tnufa if you're bringing new kvasim. That I take for granted, because I understand that the main din of tnufa is a halacha in the zevach. But my question over here is specifically kidiber alecha, in the event that Ovad Halechem, and that's what I'd like to know. Now, I'm not asking this according to everybody, because, look, it's clear to me that according to Ben Nanas, he says the whole time, the main issue over here is the Zevach, and the Zevach is Matir the Lechem, and that was his whole approach. That is the issue that he was arguing with Rabbi Akiva about from the beginning, right? So I wouldn't even ask according to him. He says, you go according to the Zevach, which you mean that according to him, if you already did the Tnufa on the Zevach, I don't need to do a new Tnufa on this new Lechem that are just replacements for that Lechem. But I do want to know a little bit of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds the Lechem is the Iker. Remember, Al HaLechem, and that's the interrelationship of the Tihiena and the Hiyu. So I want to know, do we say that since, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Lechem is a primary ingredient over here, and therefore I would have to redo the Tnufa, even though Tnufa is normally a din in the Zevach, or maybe Kivan de Matirin Didei Kvasim Ninu, or do I say, since, look, practically speaking, the matir of the lechem is the kvasim, and the kvasim were already waived, right? So therefore, we can waive the waving when it comes to the question of the lechem, the new replacement lechem. That's my issue. So, of course, Barnea manages to disappear when I get in my pun. I get no approval, nothing. Take it. Amaya Abaye Larava. I have some interesting questions over here. We've got a lot of korbanos, right, that come together with Shtei Alecha. So we've got par, ayah, kvasim. Besides, those were olos. So besides the parim, elim, and kvasim, we also have the special zivchei shamet zibur. So we've got all of those olot. And it never occurred to anybody that those olot are necessary for the Hikra Haftamah Halacha. Now, why is that? Why is it only the Shlomim that we consider to be important, and we never even discuss the question of the other Karbanas? So what's the difference between the Shnei Kvasim of the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, which are Mekadesh Halacha, and they are Ma'akev, if once they're linked for sure, and yet we've got seven Kvasim, we've got a par, we've got those two Eileen, and nobody ever thinks that they're important. All those Olot, they're not important. Why is that so obvious to everybody? Well, says Rava, I mean, there's obviously a difference. I mean, when it comes to the relationship of the Kvasim, there the Torah was Huskaku. Now, this doesn't mean Huskaku the way that it meant before, obviously, but it means that the Torah demanded that they have this very special close relationship in which they get waived. Okay, so that makes it clear that they have a special relationship, right? So, says the Gemara, but the special relationship is not a function of Tanufa. I mean, we were just discussing a Toda, and we were talking about the din of Lachmei Teda and what happens to the Lechem and the interrelationship of the presence of the Lechem to the Korban and the way that the losing the Lechem changes the Teda into a Shlomim. There's no Tanufa there at all, okay? And nonetheless, we have determined that there is a relationship between the Korban and the Lechem. So obviously, it's not Tanufa qua Tanufa that creates this way of identifying which Karbonas are closely related. Okay, I mean, if it comes to the Toda, we sort of just take for granted. Well, you know, that's the Karban that you bring with it is going to be important for it, and it becomes its matir. So if that's true of the Teda, why isn't that true of all of the Karbonas that are brought together with the Shtei HaLechem? I don't understand why we would take it for granted. So a Toda, Lo's Kukuzela Zebetrufa, nonetheless, the halacha, I mean, like, we've been talking the whole time over here, it's the Kedusha from the Dizrika Saddam of the Teda, and that's going to be Ma'akev, the Lechem, and if you don't do that properly, then the Lechem is lost. I don't understand why that follows anymore. That's true. All right, so let's try a different explanation. Ella, remember, wherever it says Ella, it's starting over again. All right, so we've got to look at it differently. Ella, actually, we could say that the Toda is the model, right? And we'll learn out the din of the Shtei HaLechem, we're taking for granted that it is the same as the Teda. Because just like the Teda is a Karban Shlomim, and as a Karban Shlomim, it seems to be Ma'akev its Lechem, and it is the heter for that Lechem. Now, that makes a lot of sense, because remember, the only Karban that is meant to be a meal for the human, the way that it's a meal for the Mizbeach, right? That's the special idea. Shlomim, it's Shlomim Lakol. It's Shlomim for the Bailim, it's Shlomim for the Mizbeach, and it's Shlomim for the Kohen, and everybody has got this part. So it makes sense that if you're going to be bringing bread as part of the human meal and as part of the Kohen's meal, that should be linked to the meat of a Shlomim, which is the same way. It's got the Chos of a Shok, which is the Kohen's meal, and it's got the Basar for the Bailim, and it's got the meat that's going to be brought on the Mizbeach. So it is the classic Karban that would be linked to the bread that is being brought with the Karban. So I think that's where we should start. We should start with the Teda. Now we come to something that is similar to the Teda, and that would be the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Okay, so then if taking the Toda as the model, I would say the Toda is a Karban Shlomim, and it is central to the Lechem that's brought with it. The only Karban Shlomim in that whole list of the Ikraftim al HaLechem, everything else is an Ela, and therefore it's not going to have this kind of concept that the Shlomim would have. So just like a Toda is a Shlomim, so Pinochet the Shtei HaLechem, it's going to also be the Shlomim that's going to be Mekadesh to the Lechem that's brought together with those Shlomim. It seems to be that the way that the Torah views an interrelationship between bread and an animal Karban is purely through the agency of Shlomim. Well, I mean, you could say that, and I understand it's a very sweet presentation, you know, but it just doesn't prove anything. I mean, how are you going to compare a case where you only have one carbon, which is a shlomim, and you'll say, in a case where I only have one shlomim, that will tell me how to act in a case where I've got everything. I've got shlomim and I've got oilas. I mean, I don't understand. Just because it sounds nice, it's not good enough to philosophically you're going to bring me a raya. That's not, what kind of raya is that? Hasam lekas v'chem achrim baday. There's nothing else there. So obviously it's going to be shlomim. But over here we've got all these other karbanas besides the shlomim. So achadikas v'chem achrim baday. I still don't understand why you're convinced that this is not a thoroughgoing interrelationship between the basar, so to speak, the zevach and the lechem. I don't say it's bad for the Rav's drasha on Shabbos, but I have no idea what makes it true. Okay. So let's try again. All right. So now I understand. Okay, I made a mistake. Cannot bring a raya, bringing a model from the Torah. But remember, I told you, it's only three cases. Okay, so now we've done two of them. One of the cases is the relationship of Torah as the Zevach to the Lechem of the Torah. One is the relationship of the Zivchei Shal Metzibur to the Shtei Lechem. And you're forgetting, there's a third one. The third one is the relationship of the El Nazir. Now the El Nazir is in fact a Shlomim. Along with that Shlomim, the Nazir has to bring, but this is when his mashlim is in the zeros, he has to bring an Eila and a Chatas. Now, when you're bringing an El Nazir, you specifically bring Shnei Minim of Lechem. It's true, it's not all four, but you bring two types of Lechem. And there you have Chalais and Rekikin, and there you've got Eila, Chatas, and Shlamim. And yet, again, the only one that is Ma'akev, the Lechem, is the Shlamim. Ah, now that's a good model. Because there you have a model when it's brought along with other korbanos, same way that over here it's brought along with other korbanos. We effectively ignore the other korbanos, as I'm going to show you in a minute, and we say that the kedusha of that lechem is completely dependent on the El Nazir. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, there is a fourth case. And where is that fourth case? Our parsha. In our parsha this week in Tetzaveh, we have the fourth case, but it's on one time in history case. And I shouldn't say one time, because as we learned yesterday, we also have Yechezkel's description of the interrelationship over here to Kvasim. And in Yechezkel's presentation, we also have special dinim that were brought, like the Miluim. Fine, so we've got three Miluim in history. The Miluim for the first, for the Mishkan, and then we've got our Miluim when the Ezra came back, and we've got our Miluim for the coming Beis HaMikdash. And those situations are similar to this. Okay, but the only din that's given to us is the classic case of an El Nazir. So just like the El Nazir has plenty of other korbanos that are brought together with the Nazir, Eila and Chatas, the only thing that makes a difference to the Lechem, it's the Shlamim or the Mekatshe, and not the others. Therefore, in all such cases where we have even multiple korbanos that are being brought together with Al HaLechem, such as the Shtei Alechem, we still have only the relationship specifically to the Shlomim element. Note, by the way, that we've got a classic situation here, Bichlal, scattered among those four, if we include the Miluim, the four examples of actually different type of Lechem. Because when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, we have only one type of lechem. What is that? That's the lechem chametz. When it comes to the El Nazir, we have two types of lechem. What is that? That's the chalot and the rekikin. When it comes to the Torah, we have four kinds of lechem. And when it comes to the miluim, we have three types of lechem. So it means we seem to have covered the various types of relationships to the different lechemim that are brought over the course of the four examples that we have of the different types of relationships to multiple korbanos and multiple lechems and how they interrelate. Fascinating, classic Menachos situation, right? Where we've been seeing these two elements of human development linked one to the other. some of which create these waving water monstrosities, is one type of the development of humans. And then there's the others who actually drink it instead of waving it, which seems to be much more effective. It's just a pun, Barnea. We don't take it seriously. Okay, so now that's a beautiful rye, but it's all based on what appears to be so far an unproven assertion. Namely, we're taking your word for it, but now you're going to have to prove it, that when it comes to the El Nazir, the only carbon that's important to the Kedusha of the Lechem, of the two types of Lechem, of the Nazir, the Chalos and the Rekikin, is the Shlamim and not the Oil and the Chatas. So now prove it. So how do we know that we don't take all of the Kedusha of these carbonas into consideration? The Tanya. Torah says, Beferish ve'et ha'ayil, yaseh zevach shlamim la'Hashem al sal ha'matzot. That's making it very clear that it's the zevach ha'shlamim that is coming as a chova to the to these baskets over here, matzot. It's the matzot that come with that ayil. Elamit sha'sal ba chova la'ayil. And therefore, if you did the shechita of the ayil shelo lishmo, it is not going to make the lechem kodesh. So the zvicha over here is going to actually be necessary, specifically of those shlomi. Okay, now let's get back to the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva here. Rabbi Akiva, remember, he said, if you do not have any kind of kvasim, there's no problem. The lechem is not dependent on the kvasim. Of course, we're talking about over here where there was no zika of the two. Over there, Rabbi Yochanan agreed that, of course, you wouldn't be able to bring one without the other. But if you don't have it and there weren't nizkakim, so then you just bring them all on their own. So you didn't tell me what happens if I bring them on their own. In other words, I understand that they may have to be brought, but I mean, don't they still need a matir? They don't have a, that was basically Rav Shimon ben Anas's, part of Rav Shimon ben Anas's argument is like, okay, but you don't have a matir. So how are you going to just bring bread? So what does Rabbi Akiva hold about that? You bring the bread. Okay. Now what? I bring it. Hello. It's here. Now what do I do? I mean, I can't eat it, can I? Because I didn't do anything to be matir it. So what do I do with it? So Tanna Rabbana, according to Rabbi Akiva, the shtei alechem abaot bifnei atzma require tenufa on their own. There's no carbon, so I still do the tenufa with them. And then what do? I just let them rot. Tu'ubar tsuratan generally means you leave it overnight till it becomes nifsibulina in the morning. Now it's no sir. And then take it away and burn it. So basically, this braita, which is going Aliba the Rabbi Akiva very clearly, it's true that you may bring the lechem, but you're not able to eat that lechem, and you actually just let it go to waste. Now, I don't understand how this makes any sense at all. I mean, what do you mean? You just let it sit there? Well, why'd you bring it in the first place? I mean, memanafshach, if you're actually bringing the shtei alechem as the shtei alechem to eat, so eat it. If you're telling me that according to Rabbi Akiva, there's a special halacha, that there's a place for shtei halacha without a matir, but that place is not the place of eating, that is a place of sreifa. Fine, so it's for sreifa. Look, I'm not coming here to second guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu as to what to do with it, but one thing that for sure doesn't make sense, either eat it or burn it. I mean, to say, well, I should be eating it, but I'm not going to eat it, I'm going to let it go to waste and then I'll burn it. That doesn't make any sense. So if you're going to burn it, then burn it. I mean, that would mean it's coming for that purpose. Why am I waiting for something to happen? I don't need to wait for something to happen. It was brought lechatchila with the intent to burn it. So burn it like anything else. So let's serfino the altar. Why are we waiting for ibur tzura? Lamalo ibur tzura, which makes no sense at all. Omar Rabbah, look, the truth is miniraisa, of course, is clear. That it was meant to be eaten, because I mean, otherwise it would make no sense. Wait until it gets ruined. I mean, you never wait on something. You do what you're supposed to do with it. So it's quite clear that midirais, you really were supposed to eat it. However, it seems to be that it's gzeira derabanan that shema yizdamnu lam kvasim l'shana haba'a ve'yomru. Well, eshtakad lo achanu lechem b'lo kvasim. Achshav nami neichal. Look, people love newborn traditions, which are insane traditions, and they're only traditions because of some kind of emergency and so on. But I mean, after all, I saw the Rebbe last year, and he ate it without the heter. Obviously, it's even better to eat it without. I mean, who knows what kind of crazy things people will come up with? So in order to avoid that type of issue, we say, look, okay, it's not eaten. And that way, they will realize it. But they're going to think, if we let them eat it, inu lo yade, are they supposed to have the brains of realizing that last year we didn't have any kvasim? And this year, if we didn't have any kvasim, inu shayu nafshayu, so then they didn't need an external matir, because if there is no connectedness to a zevach, then the shtei lechem are matir themselves. But this year we do have kvasim. And if you do have kvasim, then you need the kvasim to be the matir. So in order for dummies to be able to function in this world, we made a gezerah that says, look, don't eat it. Don't eat it. What's going to happen? It'll get ruined. What can you do? Well, what do you do with it when it gets ruined? You know what you do. You've got leftovers. You bring them out to the Beit HaSrifah. Seems like a terrible waste, yeah, but it's even a bigger waste being stupid. So therefore, we do it this way. Omar Rabba. It's clear to me that this is correct and that you're meant to eat it, Midiraisa. Because if you take a look in the Mishnah in Shkolim, remember that famous story? We should ask Rabbanet to please blank his screen so that there shouldn't be a kitrug on our Kohen, you know? But as the famous Maisa of the Edus of Ben Bukhri in Yavne, the very place of Barnea, and this terrible thing was stated over there, which said, Hey, Ben Bukhri B'Yavne. So in Yavne, Ben Bukhri shows up, and he says, on behalf of the Kohanim, Kol Kohen Sheshokel Eino Chote. If a Kohen wants to give a Machtis HaShekel, all of this coming up this week, everything is in its proper place, Haman is sitting there waiting to be hung, Amalek is sitting there waiting to be busted. The armies are holding. They have to hold off until Purim in order to be able to get things properly focused. The Mihodu Bat Kush arrived yesterday, and everything is sitting there in its place.
And he quoted it. He never mentioned it.
Right. That's quite amazing. And the Carlson Tucker is ready to be hung up. It's all Zichor Mashal Salach Amalek. And hey, Ben Bukhri B'Yavne. So Ben Bukhri comes to Barnea's location, and he says, if a Kohen would want to give a Machtzis HaShekel, he'd be allowed to. Very nice propaganda. He'd be allowed to. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, don't give me that shtick. That's not true. If he doesn't give a Machtzis HaShekel, then he's a Chayte. Not that he's not a Chayte if he does. I love these editorial comments leaving their taste in everyone's mouth. He's got to give a Machtzis HaShekel like everybody else. It's the Kohanim who make up this drasha all for themselves. Listen to this brilliant. Again, it's good for dummies. So the Kohanim are Dorshim Mikra Zela Atzmat. Since it says, V'chol Minchat Kohen Kalil Tiyeh Lo Te'achel. So if we would donate money to the Karbonas HaTzibur, that would mean that we would be paying for the Shtei Alechem and for the Lechem Aponim, and those would all be Minchas Kohen, and a Minchas Kohen is not allowed to be eaten. And therefore, we should not give money to the Machtzis HaShekel. So that's what they say, which is ridiculous, because the truth is that none of the Minchas Kohen applies to a Minchas Tzibur, for heaven's sake. A Minchas Kohen is where it's a private Minchas Kohen. And over here, even if you want to say that if you give money to the Machtzis HaShekel, somehow that's your private portion and so on, but it's still a Karban Tzibur, and therefore it's not a Minchas Kohen. So the whole idea is absurd. But anyway, I just ask you now to pay attention to the lashon of that Mishnah. What the Kohanim said was, well, if we would donate money for the Shtei HaLechem, how would it be eaten? After all, it's a Minchas Kohen. Now, what is that supposed to mean? What type of Shtei HaLechem would they actually be claiming couldn't be eaten? The Shtei HaLechem that's coming together with the Zevach? How could they even consider, why shouldn't they be eaten? You're telling me if somebody brings a Karban Teda and the Lechem of the Karban Teda, and he's a Kohen, we don't eat the Lechem of the Karban Teda? That's insane. That's not called a Mincha. That's called a carbon taita. Of course, the taita of a kohen is eaten with its lechem like anybody else. So then the shtei alechem is the same idea. The shtei alechem is being brought as part of the carbon of the vikraktam al alechem, and it comes together with the shlifchei shalmei tzibur. So it can't be talking about, they make this up when it comes to the carbon that is brought as the normal shtei alechem. So they must have been saying, what will happen if the shtei alechem this year is brought entirely on its own, without the kvasim, and then it has to be seen as a separate carbon that is being paid for by whom? None other than the holy kohanim, and that would mean that you can't eat it. So how would it be eaten? How would it be eaten? Is that supposed to be eaten according to Rabbi? You said don't eat it. That's what you said. Don't eat it and let it go out there to pay the sreifa. So now something is very screwy, unless I am correct and saying that it's meant to be eaten. And we see from here it was meant to be eaten. This must be a gezeira derabbanan later that said, in the event that it's brought all on its own, albeit the Torah says to eat it, but we cannot allow the dummies to go ahead and to eat without having the actual shlomim, because they'll do the same thing next year. Fine. Great raya, says Rabbah. Look, I got to admit, that was quite impressive. Really very nice to bring a raya from the Ben Bukhari discussion. However, it doesn't prove anything, because it could very well be talking about the shtei alechem that is being brought with the zikah shamei tzibur. And that's why they are indeed meant to be eaten. But maybe if they wouldn't be brought together with the zikah shamei tzibur, maybe indeed they wouldn't be brought to be eaten. Now, you said, but that's crazy. How would anybody consider that to be the carbon of a kohen if it's not a mincha? It's actually part of a zevach, the same way that the lechem of the Torah is part of the zevach. Ah, you're missing something very important, and that is the karkash lechem mitodah umilachma. Nowhere does the Torah suggest that lachmei Torah are to be looked at as a carbon mincha. They're clearly meant to be part of the Taita. But the shtei alechem is beferish referred to as a mincha in Vayikra. B'hakrivchem mincha chadasha la'ashem. And that mincha is a reference specifically to the shtei alechem. And it's called a mincha chadasha. This appears two times, both in the story in Vayikra itself, in Emor, which for some reason is not quoted over here, which is not clear why. Almost the same lashon. First pasuk is Vayikraftem Mincha Chadasha, and then later on in Bamidbar it says Behakrivchem Mincha Chadasha. But the point is that across the board we refer to this as the Korban Mincha, despite the fact that it's being brought together with the Zifrei Shalmei Tzibur, so that's a very special case. You can't bring a raya from something that is called a mincha, which may be the reason that Ben Bukhari was talking about something that he's taking for granted, that would be considered a iser to eat as a mincha's coin. Rabbi Yosef says, I don't agree. I don't think that the point is that lechem that's being brought on its own, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, is me'ikar hadin, is meant to be eaten. I think it's me'ikar hadin, it's meant to be burned. So now you ask, okay, so if it's meant to be burned, then why don't we burn it? Why do we wait? What's the point of waiting it for it to become nosar? If its din is that it is supposed to be burned, I'll tell you why. The reason that we don't burn it has nothing to do with its purpose. The reason we don't burn it is because there's a general halacha that we learn out from the Pasuk about the second morning, it's a different thing. You don't burn Kodesh on Shabbos or Yantav, and therefore we wait until the morning. That's all that he meant. He didn't mean wait until it becomes Nosar. What do you mean we don't burn Kodeshim? Of course we burn Kodeshim. If you're supposed to burn them, of course we burn kachim. I don't understand. We don't burn. You're telling me that we don't burn karbonas that were meant to be burned on Yom Kippur? that you're bringing it in order to be sorefit. So then, as they're going out to be soref, the parvus sayer, somebody says, "Hey, wait a minute! Ain't serving kosher biyantiv? They'll beat the guy up to a pulp. Are you nuts?" So obviously, if this is a mitzvah, we're going to do it. What kind of funny way is that? Me dummy? This is not burning noser. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're burning something which is mitzvah simbekach. Awesome. Love mitzvah simbekach. But according to what you're understanding, it's mamash mitzvah simbekach. So how can the mitzvah simbekach? Why aren't we burning them right away? Don't we do that on Yom Kippur? Where the mitzvah is to burn them, and we don't say you can't burn them on Yom Kippur. That's the mitzvah to burn them on Yom Kippur. Right, says Rabbi Yosef. I'll explain it differently. Ella, I'm Rabbi Yosef. You know why we don't burn it right away? I'll tell you why. Because you never know. Why give up hope? You never know if suddenly someone will come running up breathless and say, I got shnei kvasim. We can bring our zivka shalmei tzibor. So why should we destroy the possibility of linking these lovely lechems to some brand new zivka shalmei tzibor? We should wait until the last possible moment and hope for the best. Now what you're saying is, well, there's no zivka shalmei tzibor. Go ahead and burn it. And what kind of depressing attitude is that? As far as I'm concerned, the game is not up till the fat lady sings. And therefore, we wait until curtain closing. Ah, this is by a curtain closing. Well, I got news for you. The curtain don't close at the time that you said. You said wait for Ibur Tzura. Well, that's not when the curtain closes. The curtain closes as soon as you bring the Korban Tadish, the Korban Tamid Shabin Arbayim. And at that point, you don't bring any more Korbanas. So why are we waiting till to Ubar Tzuratan? Ubar Tzuratan means let it get ruined overnight. What do you mean? It's too late. You bring it now. The last minute that you've got is in the late afternoon. Burn it. So Tena Kozmana Kravatam. I understand that you're making it sound as if there's a fat lady, but there ain't no fat lady. And the time that the curtain closes is only during the time where you could still be makrovit. But as soon as that's over, it's over. And as soon as I bring the korban tamid, that should be the end of it. Now, why don't I burn it then? Yeah. It was a borrowed term. When it said to Ubar Tzuratan, that didn't mean to imply that it's going to be over Tzuratan literally by standing overnight and getting ruined. The point is, the normal Tzurat HaKravatam, that's what it meant. It meant as soon as you can no longer be makrivit, that's called to Ubar Tzuratan, its normal effectiveness, and at that point, you would burn it. That's what it means. It doesn't mean what you thought. And that, according to me, says Rabbi Yosef, is the ikar meaning of it. You are, in fact, meant to burn it. Rava Amar, I say what Rava said. I say it's definitely coming. L'chatchila was supposed to be eaten. And like you brought that whole raya and everything, I think that's true. And the reason that we don't eat it is just like Rava said about stupid people. That's true. But he brought a raya. I don't believe his raya. You don't need to come out to Ben Bukhri. I mean, I bring it directly from the pasuk. I'll tell you where I see it from, that it's meant to be eaten. The Omar Rava, forget about Ben Bukhri. Mina minava dechtiv. What does it say about the shtei alechem? Mimoshevotechem tavil lechem tnufa bikurim lashem. So what does that mean? Lechem bikurim. Lechem Bikurim. Why are we calling it Bikurim? Bikurim is the name of a different korban. That's the Shiva Saminim. And this is talking about lechem that's made from chita. Ah, so it must be that it's calling it Lechem Bikurim as a hekesh, just like Bikurim. Those Shiva Taminim, those are brought bifnei atzman, and there's no korban that's brought with them. Avshtei halechem are brought bifnei atzman. You don't need another korban with them, and you can also make the same hekesh to take it a step further. When you bring bikurim, they are handed out to the kohanim. And ma bikurim are meant for achila, Av Shtei Alechem are meant to be for the Kohanim. And therefore, it's clear that Rabbah's approach was correct. Okay, gentlemen, a lovely, new, exciting sugya in Menachot.